The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Good evening. Welcome to our service tonight. Let's take our hymn books together, please. Turn to 565. 565. Let's stand tonight as we sing, Send the Light, the Blessed Gospel Light. 565.
There's a call comes ringing on the rest.
Night planned in the house of God. So let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing. Pastor McDonald, you come and lead us.
Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again for this evening, Lord. We just ask that you'd bless us in your house tonight. Be with the preacher, be with the special music and all things that are done. Thank you for the service we had this morning, Lord, and we're looking forward to a great service tonight. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless this offering as given up to you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Before the cross I kneel and see the measure of my sin. How you became a curse for me, though you were innocent. The magnitude of your great love was shown in full degree. When righteous blood the crimson spill rained down from Calvary. Oh, the precious blood that flowed from mercy's side washed away my sin when Christ my Savior died. Oh, the precious blood of Christ the crucified. It speaks for me before your throne, where I stand justified. Who am I that I should know this treasure of such worth? My Savior's pure atoning blood shed for the wrath I earned. For sin had stained my every deed, my every word and thought. What wondrous love that makes me one your priceless blood has bought. Oh, the precious blood that flowed from mercy's side washed away my sin when Christ my Savior died. Oh, the precious blood of Christ the crucified. It speaks for me before your throne, where I stand justified. A crown of thorns pierced hands and feet, a body bruised and mercy's plea, a crown washed away my sin when Christ my Savior died. Oh, the precious blood of Christ the crucified. It speaks for me before your throne, where I stand justified.
Final song this evening, number 521. We'll stand together. I wish I had given him more. Number 521.
Amen. my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, I far throughout the universe display, and sings my soul.
Can you grab another mic?
I'll grab another one. Red.
Each year, I've gone now for 3 years in a row, and sometimes I'm not sure if I should keep going back because the Lord really always challenges our hearts. It's wonderful to be in a room with a whole bunch of guys and have guy jokes and things, so we certainly enjoy it, but the preaching, especially about Nathan. We heard things about Nathan, the prophet, and David, and it was during that message that I was brought under conviction about certain things in my life that I need to attend to, and so, along that. So I thank the Lord for that. And the other one, I also learned that the Lord is loaded with riches, and that in he was talking about Jacob, Israel, and Joseph, and that, and that was a really great message. It's just for you fellas that haven't been there, I highly, highely recommend it. It will challenge your heart. It will draw you closer unto the Lord. So.
You guys on the spot? Nope. All right, anyone else? Just a testimony. God's done something. Answer to prayer, a blessing, something you've been encouraged by.
All right, we're going to go ahead and show you this little video. It's only about 2 minutes long. If it doesn't have sound, if this one goes off, you'll be fine. to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to take about 15 minutes and then have an invitation. And then Brother McPherson's going to come up and present our new program for soul winning in the church. And I hope that you'll get involved. It's a program that everybody can be involved in. There's some level of involvement that you can attach yourself to, and I hope that you'll see that tonight and understand that. One of those quotes that really struck me is that the church that isn't soul winning is living out its final chapter. That's so true. There will be no next generation. And it's very important that we are faithful in telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can build a crowd very easily. We could bring in the world's music, and we can bring in an entertainment-type atmosphere, and we can build a crowd, but we're not interested in that. We want to see souls saved and lives changed for the glory of Jesus Christ. I appreciate so much the song that the ensemble sang tonight. Boy, that stirred my heart. And but, you know, I got thinking about that. The price has been paid. It is finished. But so many don't know. So many haven't heard. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in chapter 8, in verse 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." What a terrible, terrible situation. You know, you may be thinking, well, you know, preacher, Simcoe has had every door canvassed 4 and 5 times a year for 50, 60 years, and there's nobody else left to reach. And I'm here to tell you that the Simcoe I grew up in is very different than the Simcoe today. If you go into a Walmart on any given night, you will find that the Walmart is full of Mennonite people that need the gospel. They are buying up farms and moving closer this way from the Elmer area. And so there's a whole new group of people. Simcoe in Port Dover has become a retirement community. Port Dover only had about 1,300 when I was a kid, and now I understand there's about 3,800 people living in Port Dover. That's more than doubled, or almost tripled, in just 20-some years. And so there is a harvest, and there are people that need to be reached, and there's people moving into town every day, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this, it is not a huge effort. And what I mean by that is with even just minimal effort from Bethel Baptist Church, we're able to canvass the whole town every year. It doesn't take a lot, but it takes faithfulness. And it takes people willing to put away their fears and put away their reservations and get out and reach people for Jesus Christ. So look at Proverbs chapter 11 tonight. Proverbs chapter 11, we'll spend a few minutes there. I'm talking and not thinking where it is in the Bible, but we'll find it. Proverbs chapter 11. The Bible says in verse 30, we'll just read one verse. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Let's read it again. Let's read it out loud together. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity we have to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray, Lord, you'd help us to put away our personal agendas and make all our goals souls. Father, help us to reach out for the Lord Jesus Christ into a lost and dying world and preach the gospel. Sometimes it's so easy to send out a missionary and put a few dollars in an offering plate, but Lord, we must be faithful missionaries as well, telling Simcoe and Norfolk County about the Savior. Father, help us in the next few minutes. May the Spirit of God help us and teach us. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I've heard so often that phrase, "he that winneth souls is wise," but I want you to notice the first part of the verse. They're inseparable, if you will. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, you understand tonight that we are only righteous if we have been made righteous because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are in Christ, we are viewed as righteous by God. The word righteous just simply means to be right with God. We used the verse this morning for the Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." In order to become to the Father, we must be made righteous in Christ Jesus, or right with God. The Bible says there's a fruit of somebody who is righteous, and the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You folks know what trees are, and we know the difference between a living tree and a dead tree. A living tree is one that bears fruit. It is different in what it provides. It provides shade and oxygen. In other words, it provides life. It is different in what it produces. A living tree produces fruit, and a fruit produces nourishment or gives nourishment. It is different in how it presents. It has obvious life because it is alive. Out in front of my mom's place, there's a couple old walnut trees, and they're obviously dead. You never see leaves on them anymore, and they're kind of a sad-looking thing. They don't change from season to season. A dead tree doesn't have any visual appeal to it. I think the picture is clear, and the imagery that we see in the Scripture is clear, that if we are not reaching people and we are not producing a tree of life, there is no visual beauty in the church. Every spring, we see the very definition of revival. We see trees and bushes spring to life. We see the flowers come out and bloom. That's the revival of nature. And if we're going to see a revival in the church as well, it is the tree of life that springeth forth from the righteous. And so we must be faithful. Now, look at this verse. You cannot have the first part of the verse without the second part of the verse. And you cannot have the second part of the verse without the first part of the verse. Look what it says as we put it together. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. How do we develop or produce this tree of life? We must go win souls. We must tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what brings revival in the church. That's what brings life into the local assembly. Listen, there's never any more joy than when a soul gets saved. Amen. Three people are excited about that. There's never more joy in the church than when somebody gets saved. Listen, there ought never be anything. There ought to be nothing in the church that pleases you more than seeing a soul come to Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, are we awake tonight? Boy, we get excited about a lot of things. I like hearing, it is finished. The battle is over. I like that. But I like better to hear somebody get saved when somebody comes to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because one day I was one of them. I stood in need of a Savior, and I was thankful that somebody told me about Jesus Christ. Now, look, if you will, in John chapter 15. Hold your place in Proverbs 11, but look over in John chapter 15. We're talking about the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And in John chapter 15, we see how we can be that righteous tree. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I think everybody tonight would say, you know, I want to be a fruitful Christian. I want to be that righteous one that brings forth the tree of life. I want to impact people and see people saved. And for whatever reason, maybe we're scared or maybe we're backslidden or whatever it might be, we've maybe fallen short. But you say, preacher, I want to do that. How can I be that fruitful branch? Well, there's four principles I want to give you from John 15 that we might be that righteous tree, that or that righteous one that brings forth the righteous tree or the living tree. First of all, there's the principle of pruning. The principle of pruning. In verse 2, it says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, what's he do? Taketh away. Perhaps tonight you're not being productive for the Lord and you're not engrafted in the vine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful that you do not become a castaway, as Paul put it. Paul says, I keep my body under subjection that I did not become a castaway. He wasn't afraid of losing his salvation. He was afraid of becoming useless for the Lord. Are we doing what is necessary and understanding that God is going to prune? And the Bible says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. My wife is scared to death right now because last fall she said to me, she says, would you trim that Japanese maple that's out in front of the house? I said, sure. And it was getting high and you couldn't see out the front window very well. So this beautiful red leaves, you know, just a beautiful little tree. And it was coming up in front of the window and she says, would you trim that? And I said, sure, I'll do that. So I waited till she wasn't there. How many of you men don't understand what I'm talking about? And I went out and I began to trim that tree and I took it right down to about there. Nothing left. And she says, what have you done? I said, oh, don't worry, it'll come back. I don't really understand it, but when you prune something, it comes back twice as strong. You ever notice that? I remember one time Dad took that lilac bush. Mom, you remember that? It used to sit where your kitchen is now. And he cut that thing right, didn't he? And Mom used some words I cannot repeat. And she cut that tree right. No, she didn't. Cut that tree right down. But boy, did that thing ever come back. Grew and big. God says, if you bear fruit, I want to prune you so you'll bear more fruit. Allow God to work in your life. And listen, it's fun. When you win somebody to Christ, boy, you want to go win another. Tell somebody else about Jesus. When you see the light come on in their eyes and that they know that they're a child of God, boy, there's nothing like that. So understand the principle of pruning. Secondly, there's the principle of purifying. We see in verse 3 of chapter 15, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The Bible talks about the washing of the water of his word. The Bible also says, if you look in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. There's the principle of purifying. We want to see the fruit of the righteous, which is a tree of life. We are not righteous unless we are purified by the word of God. A soul winner is one that stays in the word of God. A productive branch and a fruitful branch is one that will read the Bible and allow the Bible to change them. There's the principle of presence. Not P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but the presence of God. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. There is a twofold presence here we need to understand. First of all, we need the presence of God in us. And God requests our presence with him. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. We are to be abiding one in another. We can do nothing on our own. So there's the principle of pruning, the principle of purifying, the principle of his presence, and then there's the principle of productivity. The principle of producing. Look in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. So we see, first of all, he wants us to bear fruit. Secondly, he wants us to bring forth more fruit. Look down, if you will, in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So it's growing, isn't it? First, he says, if you bring fruit, I'm going to prune you, that you'll bring forth more fruit. And the more you do it, I want you to bring forth much fruit. But here's the important thing, and here's what we often miss. Look over to verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Your fruit should remain. Years ago, we would go to the HELP program, you know, and they came to our church, and every Saturday afternoon before they would dismiss and go home to their own churches, they would do a testimony time. And inevitably, a kid would get up and, you know, 13, 14 years old, and they've led a couple kids to Christ that week, and they'll get up, and we understand what they mean. They're just new at this. They're nervous. They'll put up their hand and say, well, I saved little Billy this week. And we understand what they mean by that. They led somebody to the Lord, and they didn't know how to say it properly, and that's fine, and we can teach them and help them with that. But the truth is, a lot of times, there are converts and not Christ. Did you hear what I said? We have that attitude. Well, I saved them. I pulled them with fear out of the fire. And I've instilled in them some things. But the truth is, if they are your converts, they are not fruit that will remain. They will not last. They must be children of God. They must be fruit that remains. And so let's understand the principles of the branch tonight. First of all, the principle of pruning, the principle of purifying, the principle of his presence, and the principle of being productive. And so for those that produce the right kind of fruit, by being productive, it is called a tree of life. A tree of life. That's what we want. We want revival in the local church. We want life in the local church. And it comes through reaching souls for Jesus Christ. Now turn, if you will, back to Proverbs 11. I told you 15 minutes and I just got my introduction done. Proverbs chapter 11. You'll have to listen very quickly now, all right? So how do we get to that place? How do we become the righteous that brings forth this tree of life? Well, the verse tells us, he that winneth souls is wise. Just simply by telling others about Jesus Christ. Making sure our lives are in the right place, like John chapter 15 says. Abiding in him and allowing his words to abide in us. And preaching the word of God and bringing forth fruit that he will prune us. And he will bring forth more fruit than much fruit than fruit that remains. We must tell others about Christ. He that winneth souls is wise. And I'll give you three things quickly tonight. First of all, he is wise in what he brings. He brings glory to the Savior. A soul winner brings glory to the Savior. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, when we're out telling people about Jesus Christ and we're getting doors slammed in our face and people are angry and spitting on us and doing whatever they want to do, listen, that brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all that matters. Jesus is pleased that we're out talking about him, telling others about how good he is and the sacrifice that he made. So we bring glory to the Savior. Secondly, we're wise in what we bring because he brings grace to the sinner. He brings grace to the sinner. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. That's how people get saved. And so by telling others about Jesus Christ, we become the conduit of grace. We're bringing them the grace of Jesus Christ. We're sharing them the blessed words of life and telling them how they can meet Jesus Christ. And so we bring grace to the sinner. But we also bring gifts to the soul winner. You know, it's a wonderful blessing that God gives us when we tell others about Christ. The Bible talks about the crown of rejoicing for the faithful soul winner. For those that are speaking of Jesus and telling others about his name, you'll read about it in 1 Thessalonians. But I also understand that when I'm telling people about Jesus, I have the gift of peace. Well, I tell you, you can sleep better at night when you've gone out and done some doors. When you've been able to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing. I've been burdened for a long time about a friend of mine, Mike Waldeck. And Mike and I have run into each other a couple times, and I keep inviting him to church and talking to him. And a couple weeks ago, I was over to visit, went by Roger and Annie's, but they weren't home. So I slipped around, and Mike's backyard backs up onto Roger's backyard. So I went around to the door, and I quickly realized that they were sleeping. It was the middle of the day, but he's a shift worker, works at Stelco, and he had worked in nights that week. And so I wrote a note on one of our Resurrection Cantata invitations, and I put it on his door. I said, love to see you there. We have Saturday night. We have Sunday morning. Come, be our guests. And so I just left it there and didn't think much about it. Well, when I landed in Vancouver last week, my brother had emailed me that Mike's dad had died. So I called right away and I said, hey, Mike, I said, I'm so sorry to hear about your dad. And he said, well, you know, he says, he was 86 and had cancer and was struggling. And he says, you know, it's probably for the best. And we talked for a little while. He says, by the way, I got that flyer on my door last week. I've been wanting to call you and talk to you about that. He says, I think I'd like to come. Can I bring my family? Would that be okay? I said, no, no. I said, yeah, that'd be awesome. Come. I said, you come. We'd love to see you. We'd love to meet your family, and you come. And so pray about that. But boy, let me tell you, I got off that phone, and I was that far off the ground. Man, it didn't even faze me at all walking 200 miles through the airport to get my bags. And I was just excited. Here's a guy who says, hey, I'd like to come. Would that be okay? Sure, it's okay. Come and hear the gospel. And so, man, we can lay our heads on what a blessing Christ gives us if we're just obedient. The gift of peace and the gift of joy. The soul winner is wise in what he brings. He brings glory to the Savior. He brings grace to the sinner. And he brings gifts to the soul winner. He's wise in what he boasts. Because he doesn't boast of himself. The soul winner boasts of the Bible's power to change lives. There is such a void of wisdom in this world. I don't know about you, but I can't hardly read the news anymore and think this is absolutely ridiculous. I was reading yesterday that there was this fellow that was a deserter. He ran off in Afghanistan, just abandoned his army. Well, he got caught by the Taliban. They held him hostage for 5 years, and they finally got him back. And here he is standing with the President of the United States. He's got a beard because he hasn't been able to shave in 5 years. And they're hailing him as a hero. Hey, if you stayed with your men, you wouldn't have got caught. You're a deserter. But a faithful soldier that served 4 terms on the field, because he's a sniper, they called him a coward. A man that was faithful to his call, faithful to his men, and served for 4 tours overseas. They called him a coward. We're so backwards. But we should not be surprised. The Bible says they'll call evil good and good evil. They'll twist everything. That's what the liberals like to do. I'm so thankful that we have a Bible that sets things straight. And the soul winner does not boast of himself, but he boasts of God's power to change lives and to set things straight. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Listen, it is not about you, it is about him. And so we preach God's word. He is wise in what he boasts, because he boasts of the Bible's power to change lives, and he boasts of the Bible's promise of eternal life. Turn, if you will, to John, the book of John tonight. John chapter 14, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Here's why the soul winner is wise, because he doesn't boast of himself. He boasts of the one that has the ability to give eternal life. Tell others about Jesus Christ and you'll be the wisest person in the world by just simply bragging on him. Simply put, he boasts not of himself but of Jesus. And finally tonight, he is wise in what he believes. Turn to Romans chapter 10 and we'll be finished here. Romans chapter 10. The soul winner is wise in what he brings. He brings glory to the Savior. He brings grace to the sinner. He brings gifts to the soul winner. He is wise in what he boasts. He boasts of the Bible's power to change life, and he boasts of the Bible's promise of eternal life. But he's also wise in what he believes. In Romans chapter 10, we see in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Who was it that wrote that gospel message? A soul winner. It was the apostle Paul writing to the church of Rome saying, "Confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved." And then he says this, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel." There's people standing in need of a Savior. If you want to be a wise soul winner, it's because of what you believe. You believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you believe it in such a way that it saves souls. And you believe it in such a way that you must be compelled to tell others of Jesus. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight for a moment. Before Brother McPherson comes and spends a few minutes sharing with you this program that we believe will involve the entire church in our soul-winning program, it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit of God would challenge us tonight to get involved with this. You say, "Well, I can't go to door-to-door." There's a team tonight that we will enlist, and your job will be to pray. Team supplication. There's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of detail, and you will hold others accountable. But your most important thing that you'll do is pray. There are those that say, "Well, I'm not. I just don't know if I can knock on a door and give somebody the gospel." We have Team Saturation that'll go out and say, just advertise and put flyers in mailboxes and give out gospel tracts at the grocery store. But there's something that everybody can do. There's something that you can have a part in. And winning the lost to Jesus Christ, the instruments will begin to play. And if God has stirred your heart about our soul-winning efforts, listen, he that winneth souls is wise. Would you just take some time tonight, everybody in this room, take some time and pray about what you can do for the cause of Christ, how you can do more to impact Norfolk County. Listen, our vision needs to be bigger than just Simcoe. You know, we're the only independent Baptist church in all of Norfolk County. We need to have that vision that we want to reach all these little communities as well and preach the gospel to them before it's eternally too late. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, that we have the opportunity to share the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2 that we've been put in trust with the gospel. Father, help us to be faithful stewards with what you've trusted us with. So, Father, in the next few minutes, the next 10, 15 minutes, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about what we could do as Brother McPherson presents this program to us tonight. And, Father, we may we take it home prayerfully and expectantly, that knowing that God's going to do something with the soul-winning efforts. Father, just give us a greater awareness and burden our hearts for the lost. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother McPherson, you come. And as he comes, be in prayer about what God would have you do. We want you to commit to something tonight. And in the next week or so, we'll have about a month to organize everything. And then we're going to have another meeting where we can spend some time with our groups in prayer. Pastor McPherson has already prayed about and handpick some leaders for the four different groups. You don't know who you are yet, but he's praying tonight you'll get it in your heart first, and then after that, get involved and do more for Christ.
Amen. Thanks, preacher. Boy, I'm awful dry. Preacher, you think you could get me a glass of water? I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What a tremendous message and what tremendous songs. It's finished. He's on the throne. Praise the Lord. You know, preacher was talking about going from door to door, and we've done this place in Simcoe so many times. But if we ask God to do something in our heart, then he will do something in our heart. And we will see people saved and added to this local church. I remember one time I was in the car and a song came on the tape, a beautiful Christian song. My heart wasn't moved. And I said, Lord, what a wonderful song, what a wonderful message, but my heart's not stirred. Can I play that again and you work in my heart, Lord? And I played that song again and tears came to my eyes. And I said, thank you, Lord. He's the one that works in our heart. You know, Tony gave a testimony there about Man Up Retreat. Well, we went there yesterday and on the weekend, Friday night, I mean, and was a tremendous message. Well, you know, they started telling some jokes about seniors. And I'm not far off. I mean, and they kept going. The jokes kept going and and kept going. And it started to hurt a little bit. And I'm sitting there and I thought, Lord, I don't want to pick up a reproach because of that. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend you. And so I said, Lord, please continue work in my heart, even though that's bothering me a bit. Well, the whole thing came down to a wonderful conclusion. An invitation was given. And like Tony said, my heart was moved, and I was moved for some people. And I went to the altar, and I wept. Don't let the devil try and rob you from the joy that you can have through Jesus by some little thing that upsets you. I'm just human like anybody else. I was sitting there on the platform, and the Lord gave me, I was going to read the scripture earlier, and I thought, well, Lord, I don't know if it's appropriate. And I was listening to the music, and I said, yeah, I think it is appropriate. Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with your whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes which go a-whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. Doesn't God speak to your heart sometimes and you get under great conviction? I know I do about my evil heart. And I wonder if God doesn't weep for us because of our evil heart like he did here for the children of Israel. He wept because of their whorish heart. And maybe that's why we're not seeing what we should be seeing in our town of Simcoe and surrounding areas. Because our heart hardens. Turn to Luke chapter 5. And this is the curriculum that we're going to be working on from Brother Thiessen, the NETS program. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Jesus did things that were unorthodox to other people. Not many of us sit down and teach, but because we couldn't hold a crowd like Jesus could, he sat down and taught, and people listened to him because he was a voice of authority. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Now you heard preachers speak about this, and this is what Brother Thiessen was teaching. Let down your nets. Let down your nets. All of us let down our nets. We have a net that we can let down. We're saved. We can tell people about Jesus. We can pray about people being saved. We can hand out gospel literature. We can go door knocking. We can go and put little things in the mailboxes, invite people to church. We can hand out a gospel tract. We can do all these. Let's let down our nets. It doesn't mean that you have to go out at a specific time. The curriculum calls for 2 hours a month. You can do that by going into the grocery store and going into the gas station and going into other places and handing out a gospel tract, telling somebody, inviting somebody. It doesn't have to be a specific time. It can be all the time that we can tell people about Jesus. And Simon answered in verse 5 and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They let down the net, one net. And the net was so full that they couldn't control it. They had to call another ship over to help them. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Wouldn't you do the same any time that you come close to Jesus? I mean, aren't you under conviction when you get really close to the Lord? And don't you feel like falling down at his feet and worshiping him? He is a great king, like we heard about this morning, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And we can have the same thing here happen at Bethel Baptist Church, that we can be just overwhelmed with the drought of souls that could come in here and fill up our auditorium, so that we would need to get a building program going. And it can be done. There's lots of people around this area that need salvation, and it's not too late for revival. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him, and followed the Messiah. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll go into the program. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love. Help us, Lord, with this program to see souls saved, and help each one of us to get involved. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our preacher, the burden that he has for the lost in this community, for the deacons, for each member that's here tonight. Lord, I'm sure that their heart is burdened for the lost. Bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It'll be coming up on the monitor there in just a second. Nets. Everyone to tell of salvation. Need everyone to tell of salvation. And we looked at that. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Needing everyone to tell of salvation. The purpose. To raise awareness of the need for and possibility of every local church member being involved in some facet of soul-winning ministry. And that can happen with families also. If you have children, you can bring your children with you as we go out from place to place. Number two, to employ a wider variety of means in the soul-winning effort than are employed in traditional soul-winning programs. Nets, not just net. So not just one program, but everybody being involved. Number three, to encourage as many as possible within the local church to be active in their obedience through involvement in soul-winning ministry within their community on a regular basis. On a regular basis. Number four, to assist the local church in effectively reaching as many unsaved with the gospel message as possible through the ministry of its members. And number five, to draw the net of salvation and seek to assemble new believers into the life and ministry of the local church. We don't just go and knock on a door and get people to pray and then just leave them. They have to be brought in to the local church, to the local assembly, and then discipled. Principles of nets. Principle number one, limited faith limits our obedience. In other words, we have to have faith that God will move, that he will do something. And if we don't have that faith in God, then it's going to limit our obedience, that we won't go. God, I can't go. I can't do it. But if we have faith that we can go and then we're going to be obedient. Limited obedience limits the catch. So it's one thing from the other, from faith to obedience. If we don't have the faith, and then our obedience is going to be lacking, and then the catch is going to be lacking. Principle number three. A limitless God asks for our unlimited participation. There is no limits to God to soul winning. We can be used of God if we participate, and that we believe in a unlimited God. Number four, a limitless God deserves our unlimited expectation that if we, by faith and obedience, believe that God is going to do something, we expect him to do something. I expect him to do something in my life. Do you expect him to do something? Praise God. He will use us. Teams. Supplication. This is one of the teams. This is the first, and this is probably the most important team in the church, is supplication, praying before God. But that doesn't mean that everybody gets involved in team supplication. We can't just all be involved in team. We can be involved, but then we have to go. There has to be people to go also. This team will pray regularly and fervently for the lost in our community, for the soul winners who present the gospel, and for God to give the increase as the seed of his word is sown. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We're not up there. There it is. Saturation, team saturation. This is the first level of outreach in our soul-winning ministry. The purpose of this team is to get as many members as possible involved in the systematic distribution of John, Romans, and gospel literature within the community. And that's what we've been doing with Team Saturations the last couple of weeks. We've been doing that, going out and handing out literature. And that will be a good one for people to get involved in, Team Saturation. And here's the scripture for that. Psalm chapter 68 and verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. So you know what you enjoy doing. Prayer, supplication, handing out literature, or door-to-door cold calling, or helping out with a meeting people, and sitting down and telling them about salvation and discipleship. You know your heart. You know God's working in your heart. So you can pick one of these and be faithful. 2 hours a month. That's not a lot to ask to do this for the Lord. And then to meet once, we'll be meeting here once a month at Bethel on a Sunday night and talk about all this. Salutation. The purpose of this team is to engage the unsaved through personal contact and invite them to the services and activities of the church. This is come and see approach in evangelism. This is knocking on doors. Maybe you are comfortable in doing that. The scripture, John chapter 1, verse 45 and 46. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see, and the Lord will bring people to him. Last theme, salvation. The purpose of this, of the team, salvation, is to compassionately interact with the unsaved. You know, this is really important. Through personal appointments and share with them a clear presentation of the gospel. The goal of this team is to draw the net of salvation and then ask to retain the harvest of souls. There's much prayer that has been gone into this already, into this program. I know it because God is here tonight. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." This is a grace program. This is the grace of God, his Son, saving souls. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. God works in a heart from the time that they're small and draws them in hopes that they will respond. And when they respond, God will send somebody that bringeth salvation. That's where we come in. We bring the salvation through Jesus Christ to people. They just don't get saved. They've got to have the Word of God. They've got to know what the Word of God is to be saved. I didn't get saved because God worked in my heart and I didn't know the Word of God. I had to know the Word. He worked in my heart. And there was a pastor that showed me the Word of God so that I could understand it and be saved. It just doesn't happen. People aren't just saved. We have a responsibility. What part of this program will you fit best for you? I think you know. Maybe it's prayer, distribution of literature, door-to-door appointments. Follow-up. Psalm chapter 126 and verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We need to pray that God will break our heart for souls. Wouldn't you expect that from somebody if you were lost? From a brother or sister, that they would weep before God for you, that they might be saved? Team, supplication, saturation, salutation, salvation, opportunities, supplication, corporate team prayer, personal regular prayer for soul winning ministries. This is so important. Creating and maintaining effective soul-winning prayer lists. Rejoicing in answered prayer, and this will be with your team leader. Saturation, door-to-door ministry. Distribution of John Romans, systematic blanketing of neighborhoods with gospel literature. Handing out tracts at special community events. And we do these things, but we need, it's just not a few, that we want everybody involved with this. Bethel has always done this stuff, but not to an extent where everybody gets involved in it. We all need to be involved in the Great Commission. Salutation, door-to-door ministry, street ministry, ministry of letters, notes, cards, phone ministry. And I know there are people that have come up to me and they want to do this. They like the idea of going out and knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. They get excited about it. They enjoy doing that because God is with them and they've seen that in the past. There's nothing like it. I know sometimes it's hard to get out there, but when you get out there, you're with Jesus and you're knocking on a door and it's exciting. The presence of God is there. The Holy Ghost is there. The joy of the Holy Ghost is there telling people about the Lord. It's an exciting thing. salvation, soul-winning appointments. Okay, salutation, salvation, soul-winning appointments with prospects and visitors, salvation, Bible studies in homes, follow-up ministry, hospitality and discipleship, campus ministry, prison ministry. Now, we don't have a prison in town, but we do have a boys thing that we could reach. Nursing home ministry requirements. Attend the monthly NETS meeting. Make a one-year commitment to the team. Participate in at least 2 hours of ministry time per month. This does not include the NETS meeting. Fill out monthly ministry reports and return to your team leader, NETS. How does all this work? Networks make the NETS work. When we all work together, the NETS are let down, and we get a draft of fish. Vertically, communication with the Master. Stay prayed up and filled up with the Holy Spirit's power. Horizontal, communication with the team members and leaders. We need everyone's help to get the catch in the boat. Remember, networks make the NETS work. Let's go soul winning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for this program, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'd all get behind it, from the littlest child to the oldest adult, either prayer or saturation or salutation or salvation or supplication, Lord, that we might see souls saved in this local New Testament Bible-believing church. We're so thankful for Brother Thiessen, Lord, and we wonder why he had that such a hard time there, Lord. The devil gave him such a hard time, and we prayed for him. We remember that, Lord. When these kind of things are done, the devil is not going to be happy, but Lord, you'll get the victory and the honor and the glory, and we praise your holy name tonight, Lord. I pray that you would bless these dear folks, Lord, as they fill out these cards, Lord, that we're going to give to them, decision cards, to help out with this. And Lord, that you'd help them to know which program to be in, which part of it, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers are going to hand out decision cards to each one, and you fill them out, and we're going to have them taken in. And thanks, preacher.
Okay, yep. These cards out, but I'm going to change something very quickly, Paul. What we'd like you to do is take it home for a week and pray about it.
Okay, sure.
And then next Sunday night, we'll collect them, all right? So next Sunday night, or if you're not here or whatever, but we'll collect those. But would you do this? Would you pray that God will allow you to step out of your comfort zone? It's wonderful to have prayer, but if the whole church signs up just to pray and nobody goes out and tells people about Christ, we won't have the work done. And so we need to make sure that we would do that. So it's a very low-level commitment. We're just asking if everybody would just do 2 hours a month. Can you imagine if everybody in this room did 2 hours of soul winning a month? It'd be incredible what could happen. And so would you start there? And maybe a year from now, we'll challenge you to do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. So just pray about that for the next week, and take those cards with you. What God would have you to do, don't forget the four teams. There's team supplication. And I would encourage you, if you're not able to go out, get on team supplication and pray. There's going to be some work to it. You're going to be handed lists from the different teams, and praying for those that we've reached with the gospel and planted seeds. But there's also an accountability. You're not going to want to pray if nobody's out doing their job. And so we need to be accountable one to another. There's team salutation. There's team saturation. There's team salvation. All that do different jobs. But the most important thing, and what I really like, is that when somebody gets saved, team supplication can rejoice because they know they've been praying for them. Team salutation can say, well, I made them feel welcome in church, and I sat with them, or I invited them to a service, and Team Saturation can say, well, I put a letter in their mailbox. And then Team Salvation can say, I followed up and I led them to the Lord. And so, praise the Lord, everybody has a part. It's the whole principle of one plants the seed, one waters the seed, but it's God that gives the increase. And that's scriptural. And so we're going to follow that. So let's go ahead tonight. We have a fellowship. We're going to be dismissed with a word of prayer. Your announcements are in your bulletin. We don't want to keep you any longer. Pray about this for the next week, and we will collect them next Sunday night. All right, let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer tonight. Brother Murph Curtin, would you lead us in a prayer, and would you ask the blessing on the food as well, please?
Program, and I just pray that everyone will get involved in it. And now I just thank you for all the blessings you've given us. And now I ask you to bless the food that we'll be receiving. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.